Morning and welcome. Good to be here already and good to be together. It's kind of interesting, even last week in school starting, and there is kind of a chaos that not part of the school is far from chaos, and yet it's interesting how it works, and just blessings to people giving there and students as you get back into school. I would like to, not today, but I would like to keep going. So let's not forget Peter in Rome and the writing that he was doing there, an older guy, and what all was happening in Rome and that. So keep that. I would like to go to a different place. I just want to talk today, and a couple things play into this, but just talk about faithful stewardship. So there's a couple reasons here, but faithful stewardship. And as we talk about faithful stewardship, so talents, gifts, abilities, money, time, voice, influence. Is voice and influence part of what we carry? Your voice, your influence, that's part of stewardship, all tied right in. And something, I look back when I have about, I don't know, is it last four Bibles? Like, how many of you keep your old Bibles? I don't know exactly why I do, but the Bible that I probably carried 17 to 23 in the back of it had some things written down, and I remember these things. And this is fairly long ago now, almost 30 years ago. So, and this nothing, just basic stuff. So before we go into scripture, these are just some thoughts. No one cares how much you know till they know how much you care. And it's just real. No one cares how much you know till they know how much you care. We should not fear failure as much as succeeding in things that hold no eternal value. Another one there, worry is calculating with God in the picture. And this one you may have to think through. When we do not do what true love dictates, we lose people's respect. So true love doesn't mean always being nice. It can mean being very honest. But when we do not do what true love dictates, we lose people's respect. Love is a desire to benefit others at the expense of oneself, because love desires to give. Prayer is the heartbeat of Christians. Another one I had written down is, what you are thunders so loud I cannot hear what you say. And those are just basic things, but they've stuck with me. So I would like to go to Matthew 25, and this talks about a man, and honestly, we're talking about a king. So in Matthew 25, you good to pull it up there, Jeremy? It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. If in this story, how many of us believe that that's actually talking about a king? That this illustrates how Jesus left us here in the talents. I think we assume that, we believe that, like he says it like a man, but we're claiming it as the king left for now, and he left us here with gifts and abilities. So I'd say let's just read it together if you can. And can you guys see it? Okay. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on his journey. Then he went to see which 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with
So he and received five talents, came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also had received two talents, and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I had not sown, and gather where I had not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my own with interest, and at my coming I will receive back to my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
You need to point back to the beginning there. We pull five or six things from this, and it's a very familiar passage. I'm not going to act like it's new. It's not. It's very familiar. So just want to talk about some stuff again, and good reminder. So the first thing is we're recipients first. Like the first thing about it is that we're given. We have a place, we have an entity, and here it talks about being given talents and abilities, but they're not ours, they're given. So that's kind of a basic thing here, and we're first recipients. God gives us value, identity, freedom, but with the things that we carry, our gifts, abilities, talents, we're given. So they're not yours, they're only entrusted to you. You're only a steward. I'm only a steward. We're only stewards. Number two, and I don't know if this is politically correct or not, it doesn't really matter. We are not all created equal in abilities. And that's true. We're not all created equally in abilities. We have equal value. We have equal value, but we're not created equal in abilities. Our intrinsic value, who we are, we're God's creation, so we have value. But as far as ability, we are entrusted differently, not equal ability. But just a reminder, you, me, what you've been entrusted with is what you're accountable for. So how many people want to be accountable for more? You know, we like to be entrusted with more, and we don't always like to be accountable for more, but the reality is we do want to, I think we all want to make a difference. We want to do what we were created to do. So number two, we're not all created equal in abilities. That's a basic thing. And one other thing about this parable is it teaches that we have choice whether we do. Whether we do what we're entrusted with, whether we do anything, whether we work, so we can go out and put to work or spend or invest or put out there the things that we're entrusted with, or we can sit on our behind. We don't have to do anything, but we are accountable. So it's not the choice of the doing is our choice. Like, that's a response, that's an action, that's an attitude of our heart. Ability may be given, availability is choice. Our availability to be used is choice. ability may be given. One other thing that I think is kind of interesting to think about is God doesn't reward giftings. God rewards faithfulness. So if somebody is this gifted, it's their faithfulness that they're rewarded for. So just because somebody is much more gifted than you is neither here nor there. It's faithfulness that God rewards. If everyone in your world carried your attitude about serving or giving, it's interesting, what kind of world would that be? If everyone in your world looked at life and gave in life and put into life as you do, what kind of world would you have? Hopefully a good world, a giving, serving world. God gifted us, enabled us to glorify Him, and that's a privilege. And He did it also to serve the common good, to serve mankind, to serve our world, but with an agenda to further His kingdom. Like, He enabled, He gifted, He put purpose, and He's got an agenda. And with that, He gifted us, and we will give account. One other thing that this parable, it's kind of direct, indirect. So, when I first say it, you're going to go, is it really there? And then you kind of, it is there. But this parable, directly or indirectly, talks about how God gives us what we need to do in order for the things that He gifted us to do. So God gave gifts and abilities, but there's the ability, and it's when we pull back. God has a problem with it. Like, God expects us to operate in the things that He created us to do. There's an expectation of that. Fear, right here, fear took the one talent person out of the game. Don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do it. We all have those days. But it took him out of the game. I don't know if today, like, I would think fear would be one of the big things that can take us out of our gifts, our abilities, our voice, our influence, using it for God's glory. I think sometimes just sheer selfishness, I'm more worried about me, can take us out. But fear and selfishness. Fear created sitting on talents. And the reality was, the person sitting on the talent thought it was theirs to sit on. Wasn't. It was entrusted talent. God's got a problem with sitting on our talents. The other thing, and it's kind of interesting, like, I'm 50, and like, I don't know if I'm old or young. I'm kind of old, kind of young, but there's something in verse 21 that just, it tickles me just a little bit. And, but we see, like, Lord, and the King, and this is our God, gets excited when there's faithfulness. He said, well done, good, you know, just, there's excitement in the Master when there's faithfulness, and good job, way to go. There's a praise. And The New King James says, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The NLT, and this is after there's been faithfulness, but the NLT says, I will give thee many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. And like, how many of us just love to celebrate about more responsibilities? No, but it's kind of interesting. But like, you kind of got to process that a little bit, because there's a deep air. there's a right ear. Like, that's not just surface. But when we're living out what God called us to do, and in a deep way, there's an affirmation from God, and he brings other responsibilities. And like, I think, hopefully, it's not just always more. Maybe it's greater or higher. Like, just more can sound overwhelming. How many of you just want a lot more than what you have right now? But maybe there can be the you've been faithful in these areas. I'm going to give you another level of areas. I don't know. Something about that. I will give thee many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. But it's our God, and it's what there'll be a day when we can sit. There'll be a resting day. We're not there. We're in life, and we're in the fight. We're in the action. God doesn't reward ability. He rewards faithfulness. God is God. There's a soberness about the end of this reading, and it's talking about taking the talent away from the one that did nothing. And that's not where we want to be. It seems harsh, but God did give the one with one talent, he gave him the ability to do the one thing. And the reality is they weren't faithful, and that was God's entrusted talent and ability. So sobering word of God, Matthew 25:30. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's kind of interesting. In Luke, there's a similar account. And in there, it talks about, you've been faithful with much. The wording of it, in the NLT, I didn't look at the King James, I will make thee ruler over 10 cities. Like, how many of you would want to be ruler over one city? 10 cities. I'm going to keep going here. Want to look at some other just promise scriptures, some different stuff, but just recap this one just a little bit. So we are entrusted, we're given. What we have, we're given to take care of talents, abilities, money, influence. We're not all created equal in value, not equal in ability. We have choice whether we use our talents, and et cetera. The one thing about using our talents, it often looks a lot like work or being serving or being engaged. Four, God gives us what we need to do, what he calls us to do. Five, there's accountability. There'll be praise for a job well done, and there'll be judgment for pulling back fear. God entrusts his children with talents. So here's a few verses in Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's just talking about everything in it. The earth is the Lord's, the world and they that dwell therein. It all belongs to the Lord. Like, that's who owns. James 1:17, this is in the ESV. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. 1 Chronicles 29:12, and this is when David was kind of the prayer there when Solomon was moving in, and David had done a lot to build a kingdom, and he had done a lot to stockpile stuff, to build a temple, all of this stuff, and there's this blessing that David's praying there in 29:12. David's just recognizing both riches and honor come from you, God. And you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and give strength to all. The earth is the Lord's. The Lord gives. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, ESV. This is the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountiful will also reap bountiful. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. The question with that is always, who wants to reap bountifully? But there's a choice. It's what you put in. NLT, 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. From his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And this is just a paraphrase. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around, so I'll get in on it. If it's words God gave you, you know, give them out. Let them be God's words. If it's help, let it be God's hearty help. That way God's bright presence will be evident to all. Again, just, it's interesting how God rewards faithfulness, not necessarily just our giftings, but it's as we use them. Serving and loving people unselfishly usually open doors to our giftings, to being more used, and in a body and life, the more service from the heart, honestly, the more it's welcomed by all. Service, faithfulness. I'm going to read a couple more verses, then I'm going to just do kind of this random reflection on voice. And Luke 16:10, whoever can be trusted with little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. In Matthew 25:23, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Luke 19:17, and this is parable of talents or the pounds. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. But it's just the principle of being faithful in little. Being faithful in little, entrusted with more. So this is a little random, and you can throw it all out. It's more just some reflections, and this has maybe more to do with stewardship of our voice or demanding to be heard, how we carry. And it's just, so the last year we've seen protests. There's now woke culture, people demanding to be heard. It's interesting as we reflect that the King of Glory entered our world as a lamb, gently, sacrificially. God paused the earth, earthquakes, darkness, when Jesus gave his life. But the power that Jesus carried, and yet he laid it down and served, he came humbly, he lived humbly, he died sacrificially, and from it we have the greatest invitation. And Jesus did all of that to invite people to come to him. He had the power to totally change, to just take this world. He didn't. He entered it, and he served, and he invited. This offer given to the world, and Jesus just, you know, come to me, respond to my love. He came to serve. We know that from Scripture. We know that from the Word. And it's this invitation to come. So Jesus came with invitation. We are told and asked to live as Jesus did, to serve, to give, to bring truth. But that invitation goes on to come to Jesus. And the strength of that invitation is because God asks it. And what he was willing to pay to make it possible. So this invitation cost Jesus his life. Jesus sacrificed his life so that this could be possible. Jesus was so far from demanding, but he also wasn't apologetic with truth. So it's kind of this interesting thing that Jesus carried, so far from demanding and yet unapologetic with truth, never apologizing for truth. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It goes on in the next verse. This is in the NLT. Don't copy the behavior and custom of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. May this world be served. May that invitation have legs and hands and feet this day, these days. May this world be served by his body, by his people. He's got the power. There'll be a day when the invitation is over. The command will come. But we are in a time like demanding to be heard. Like you tell me throughout the New Testament that Jesus took that role. There's times he spoke. He didn't apologize for truth. He spoke plainly, but he came to serve. And it's through that service that doors are open and we have a chance to speak. Truth needs to be brought. Never shied away from. God gives choice. Bring truth. Bring the word. But even then, today, God leaves choice with our world. Always there's choice. There'll be a day there's no more choice, but today there's choice. Jesus will return as a lion. I don't know. These are questions for me, for you. Do I need to be heard? Do I carry life? Do I carry Christ? Do I carry Jesus and serve, and I'm ready to offer as opportunity comes? Do I have things I need to say? That can be tricky. Do you have to say them because it's helping somebody, or do you have to say them because you have to say them? Is it serving, or is it myself? Am I willing to serve until those doors open, till there's an invitation to speak? How long? Jesus came. Jesus embraced serving, and what he spoke, he spoke across the ages. That invitation, the King of Glory entered our broken world, served, laid down his life, taught. He's building his kingdom, but it's through invitation. And I don't know. I'd like to do one other thing. This is part of the reason, and this won't take long, but this part of the reason I spoke today on stewardship. Just yesterday, was it a year ago, Joe passed. And Joe was a really good dad to Sharon and a good dad to me later. Couldn't have asked for a better grandpa for us and the girls. I enjoyed being with Joe, and we do miss him a lot. His quiet, steady presence, just like that's probably just his spirit and his steadiness, never loud. And as a church family, I think we miss just the steady, the quiet. But I do want to speak about this. Speaking of stewardship, Joe challenged me a lot. He wasn't flashy. He didn't try to make his life easy just to make it easy. He liked to give voice. He often had more to say than what he said in the crowd. He didn't demand to be heard. He would talk when it was time. He didn't often push to be heard, but yet he carried a lot of wisdom. And it's interesting, at the end of his life, his children and grandchildren cherish and reach for what he had to say. It wasn't that he demanded. It's what he had put into it. So, Sadie, Just may God's grace carry you this next year, and the reality of loss and pain is also the reminder that we had something good, that you had something good, and something, someone that brought a richness to our lives. And when we lose good things, it hurts. And so in the hurt, remember the good. One thing, and this is just kind of, it tickled me, kind of, Joe, and it's so typical. He acted like he didn't like our dog very much, kind of, at first. He wouldn't really, like, that's kind of, Jazzy learned to sit at Joe's feet endlessly. We couldn't figure it out, like, for a while, and then we kind of got it. Like, Joe would feed him, and Joe would, like, without people really knowing, I mean, he would be petting him, but, like, it was just Joe's way. Like, just kind of quiet, just not a lot of fanfare, but it's how he did a lot of relationships. And that was just a dog. But Joe was quiet, and probably the one thing, and, like, this is just, Joe is faithful. Joe is very faithful, solid. I do believe that Joe heard those words, "Well done, son. Love you. Come in. Welcome home, Joseph." But I don't know, just the challenge today, faithful stewardship. We have a king, he's given good gifts, good abilities, right here. We don't have to be scared, because they're not our gifts, they're his. So let's embrace life and embrace giving and doing, breathing, and may we serve our world in a way that they want to hear the voice of God. I'm going to turn it over, Marcus. You good to close?